Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
And welcome to Living Beyond Limits. We are a part of Centers for Spiritual Living, and I'm Reverend Jennifer Speer. I am so delighted to see your faces today. So glad that you joined us today. And for those of you who are new to us today, from the very bottom of our hearts to yours, we're so glad that you joined us today. Welcome. And so let's begin the service today by reading our mission statement that's on the front of the bulletin. We are a sanctuary where people can discover and reveal the presence of God within their own being and experience their oneness with all life. Through the realization of this inner presence of love and peace, we give way to the evolutionary impulse of the divine and become a beneficial presence in the world. So that's what we're doing here at Living Beyond Limits, is we are giving ourselves the opportunity through the music that is played, through the words that are spoken, through the readings, and actually even just by being together and seeing each other in that light, we are coming to recognize that the presence of Spirit lives within us, that our own divine essence is of the divine, is of Spirit. And that means then that all of those qualities and characteristics and aspects of Spirit, such as love and peace and wholeness and authentic power, that all of those things reside within us, that they are innate to our own beingness. Because what happens then is as we come to know that that is within us at all times, then when we are out in the world and the world is not reflecting, say, peace or love or joy or kindness or any of those things, we aren't as reliant on the outside world giving that to us. Because when it's not, we can tap into that within ourselves. And as we do that, then we are able to bring love into a situation where it is missing. We're able to bring peace into a situation where there seems to be no peace. We're able to stand in our own power or in our own wholeness when things in the world aren't going well. And what happens then is as we come to own those aspects of ourselves, that we actually change the relationship. The way that we act and behave and believe and see things changes the interaction. It changes what's happening in that moment. And then because we are all connected to everyone and everything, it not only affects that moment, but it affects the whole. And so as we awaken to our own divine nature, we come to the world differently, and we come to the world as a beneficial presence. We come with kindness and care and love and unity and oneness. And so I thank each and every single one of you for answering the call of your own spirit to be walking this path, to be bringing that divine presence into this world in a way that is beneficial. So thank you all for that. And so on platform this morning with me is our practitioner, David Conant. He's going to lead us in an evocation as we begin to evoke an awareness of the presence of Spirit, and he will be doing a contemplative reading for us. And Stacy Robbins and Seth are here with us today.
Thank you.
Stacy will be leading us in the prayer chant, I Open Up. The words will be up here on the wall. I invite you to sing along if you would like to, or you can just take those in, those words in, and allow that to kind of help you slow down and to come to center. And so I invite you right now just to slow down a little bit and to find that place within you where there is just your own beingness, rather than the doingness of life, and to allow yourself just to rest there.
stillness, in the silence, I feel the sacred surrounding me. I surrender to this moment. I open up and I find peace in the stillness, in the silence. I feel the love inside of me. I surrender to this moment. I open up and I find peace. Let my soul speak with each heartbeat, with every breath I take. In the stillness, in the silence, I feel the light inside of me. I surrender to this moment. I open up and I find peace. Let my soul speak with each heartbeat, with every breath I take. In the stillness, in the silence, I feel the Spirit surrounding me. I surrender to this moment. I open up and I find peace. I open up and I find
Take a moment to become aware of the presence of Spirit in our minds and hearts. Our oneness with Spirit is a powerful force for good in our lives. It is mentioned in the Lord's Prayer as, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Our relationship with the living Spirit is permanent and never wavers. It shows up in our lives in many ways. One of them is in the coincidences we experience. Maybe they are not all coincidences. It just might be Spirit operating in our lives. Spirit is the companion of our soul, and it blesses and guides us through our human experience. I am grateful for this and for much more. I bless Living Beyond Limits. I bless Reverend Jennifer. I bless Stacy, and I bless Seth. I bless this service and everyone here, and I bless all spiritual paths, and so it is. Good morning.
Good morning.
My reading today is from 365 Days, Science of Mind by Ernest Holmes. Affirmative prayer means that we clear the mind of all doubt and fear and turn in faith to the great giver of life. It means that we become aware of the presence of God within and around us, here and now. It means that we affirm this presence and accept it quietly, calmly, and peacefully in all of its fullness. So, I now let go of every anxious thought. I now surrender any doubt or fear into the great heart of love. And I now receive confidence and inspiration from the source of all life. I believe that love is guiding me. I believe there is a divine power that goes before me and makes perfect my way in joy and happiness. I believe this power is flowing through me to the joy and happiness of those around. I have faith, conviction, and assurance that cannot be moved, for I am established in a love that envelops everything I contact and every person I meet. My inner presence knows all my needs. I accept the life that Spirit has implanted in me, and this life reaches out to everything around me in joy, gladness, and with the blessed assurance that all is well. And so it is.
So do you ever have times in your life where your expectations and your hopes aren't met? Do you ever have times where you feel let down or unhappy because someone or something didn't turn out the way that you thought it would, or the way that you hoped it would, or the way that you wished it would? And then, do you actually ever have times in your life where you actually get caught up in that disappointment and you don't know how to get yourself out of it? You don't know how to get yourself outside of those feelings and that energy, but you just don't know how. You're just stuck in it. Yeah. So, do you have one that's happening in your life right now? Someplace where you're stuck in disappointment? Well, I invite you to hold that just kind of in the back of your mind. And if you don't have one, think of something recently where you kind of got stuck in your disappointment about something. And so as we participate in the Season for Nonviolence this week, which we're doing, we are talking about how to experience greater peace in our lives by being able to not get stuck in our disappointment. Because I know every single one of us, we actually want to move through our lives with a sense of peace and a sense of well-being. When things are disappointing and we feel disappointed in our lives, we don't want to get stuck in that disappointment. Instead, we want to have faith. We want to have faith that things will work out and that things will work out for good. We want to feel empowered to actually move forward from whatever that experience is and create a life that's filled with good. When life gives us lemons, we here in this room don't just want to make lemonade. We want to make lemon meringue pie with candied lemon peel on top. And yet, sometimes we get caught up in our disappointment. We can feel let down, and we can feel discouraged when that happens, and we can find it hard to get out of it. In turn, when that happens, sometimes we can feel depleted, we can feel hopeless, and we can feel kind of depressed when we can't get ourselves out of that disappointment. You know, for example, maybe it's somebody or you that had stayed up all night long studying for a test and then takes the test the next day and doesn't do well on it. Or maybe you've invested years in a relationship and then the relationship doesn't work out. Or maybe you have a sibling or a friend or a spouse who is acting in ways you don't want them to act, doing things that you don't want them to do, and not doing, or even the opposite of that, not doing things that you thought they would or that you hoped they would. Or maybe you spent years building a business and then a global pandemic happens and you lose all of your customers, or you lose a large number of your customers. None of those things were expected. But when those things happen, we can end up feeling like a victim. We can end up feeling stuck. We can end up feeling sorry for ourselves and kind of take on that mantra, oh, poor me, and stay stuck there. Acknowledging our disappointment is important. It's valid. Acknowledging our grief or our sadness or our loss over something that did happen or did not happen, it's healthy to acknowledge that. It's healthy to feel that. It's healthy also to move through it. It's valid and it's important and it's part of being a human being, because as human beings, we have expectations. We all have expectations. That's part of being a human being. But the thing is, we can't afford to camp out in that disappointment. If we camp out in our disappointment, it keeps us stuck in our own lives. It keeps us from moving forward. So holding on to victimhood is akin to being caught in the downward spiral of a water drain. Once you're caught in that whirlpool that's going down, there's no way to get out of it. As long as you're sitting in your disappointment, you can't get yourself out of it. In the Bible, it says, "Lo, I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, and thou art with me." Do you notice it says, I walk through the valley? Not that I set up camp and stay there. I walk through the valley of the shadow. And so the thing is, we have to keep walking. We have to keep moving. We can't just stay there. You can stay there as long as you need to and feel it, but you know when you get stuck there, it's not serving you. And so there's a story that Eric Butterworth tells. He says, a little girl had a great fear of tunnels. Whenever she was riding on a train or in a car with her parents, she would hide her face and bury her head in her mother's lap the moment they entered the tunnel. As years passed, she discovered that tunnels were not as fearsome as she had thought. Eventually, she remarked that she liked tunnels because, quote, they have light at both ends. This is very significant to remember. In going through dark tunnels of your life, there is light at both ends. That disappointment, whatever it is that we're experiencing, is a tunnel experience. There's light at both ends of that. So we feel whatever's happening, our disappointment, our sadness, our loss, our grief. We acknowledge it, we sit with it, and then we move through it. And so today I'm talking about moving ourselves through our disappointment. And so the title of my talk is It Came to Pass. And I'm talking about that when we are stuck in disappointment, we can shift our perspective. And when we shift our perspective, it then shifts our consciousness and our energy. And when we shift our consciousness and our energy, that is the thing that enables us to move forward. That's the thing that then allows the good to flow into our lives. Because when we're stuck in disappointment, we have some story going on that says life is no good or things are no good. And you know what? That blocks the good from coming into our lives. And so today we're looking at some tools that we can use to get us unstuck. The first one is, and it's a big one, changing that need that we have, that demand that we have that things be a certain way, to a preference. Changing our need to a preference. The second one is recognizing where our focus is and then stepping back a little bit and recognizing that there's a bigger picture. The third one is finding our gratitude. And the fourth one is having faith. Having faith that actually good is at work in our lives. And because good is at work in our lives, we can then expect the best. In the Buddhist doctrine, there's a saying that says, life is dukkha. In fact, that's the very foundation of Buddhism. And that means life is suffering. What that really means then is life is filled with suffering. Life is filled with pain. Life is filled with discomfort. And that pain and that discomfort is caused by our attachment. Our attachment to things being the way that we want them to be and not being the way we don't want them to be. So it's the attachment to something that actually causes our suffering. It's the attachment that causes our sadness or our frustration or our feelings of being let down or whatever it is, the discouragement, whatever it is that we're feeling. It's our attachment to that thing being the way that we want it to be. Or not to be the way we don't want it to be. But if we change our attachments, if we change our demand that things be a certain way to preferences, automatically it lifts our distress. I prefer to pass that test. I prefer that my spouse not do this thing that they just did. I prefer to have a large number of customers at my business. And so whatever that situation is that you have been stuck in your disappointment about, think about that right now. Just apply that. Change in your mind that demand that things be a certain way. Just say to yourself, I prefer whatever it is. Do you feel yourself shift? I prefer whatever it is, rather than it has to be this way. And as we shift to having a preference rather than a demand, our body softens, our minds soften, and in turn we become more open. We become more open to a new idea, to a new thought, to new inspiration. We become open to other possibilities. And so there's a story in the book, In the Flow of Life by Eric Butterworth. He says, a few years ago, due to what I later discovered was a carburetor malfunction, I experienced an embarrassing stalling of my car in the midst of heavy traffic at the toll station. The toll station of an important bridge right in the middle of rush hour. Horns were honking, tempers were flaring, and my starter was grinding. Finally, it ground to a complete stop as the battery's power was exhausted. At such a moment, one can easily forget his spiritual ideas and run an emotional gamut of frustration, anger, self-pity, disappointment. There I was, stalled in unbelievably heavy traffic. What to do? How was I going to fix this? I recall that into my mind came the seeming irrelevant thought, tomorrow night at this time, I'll be home relaxed and happy, and this will be in the past. I chuckled to myself to think my sense of humor was still working even in this emergency. Then the full impact of that thought struck me. It was not just a facetious thought, but a great revelation. For in that flash of insight, I tuned in to the flow of life. There was no intellectual analysis of the problem and how to fix it, but it was an assurance that, quote, this too shall pass. Walking through the valley, remember? The answer came so quickly that it seemed a miracle. Certainly a skeptical person would find room for debate and ridicule. What power can a change of attitude have on a faulty carburetor or an exhausted battery? Can anxiety and tension on the part of the driver have an influence on the function of a car? And can faith and prayer affect inanimate objects? There is some valid research that has pointed to a resounding yes to this question. What happened for me at that time, I don't really know. I only know that I was led to try the starter. The motor turned over once, and the car was running again. In a moment, I was speeding across the bridge on my way home. The next night, sitting comfortably in my living room, I looked back on the whole experience with gratitude that my moment of crisis had truly, quote, come to pass. A change of perspective, a change of letting go, opens us up to other possibilities. Changing your thinking changes your experience. And the second thing that we do is recognizing our focus. Recognizing and realizing that whatever we are focused on that we're disappointed in is really a myopic focus. We are focusing on one single tiny aspect of something that is much bigger. Focused on one single aspect or part of something. And then we recognize that it's not just this that's happening. We recognize that there's a bigger picture. We recognize that there are more aspects to this particular thing than that one thing that we're disappointed about. And as we recognize that there is a bigger picture, it puts things in perspective. Oh, I'm working on this 3-year degree and taking lots of classes, and I've learned so much. My education isn't really about this one test that I didn't do well on. Or, oh, I have a really great relationship. It isn't really about the fact that my spouse did not wear this thing that I wanted him to wear to this place that we went, that it was ridiculous. It isn't really about that my spouse forgot my birthday. The relationship is much bigger than that. You know, we've been together in this relationship for years, and we really like each other. And we've done so much traveling, and we travel together. We have fun together. That's a bigger picture. Oh, we only have 25 people in this room rather than 45 people. But the 25 people in this room isn't the bigger picture. The bigger picture is we have a wonderful group of people here. The bigger picture is this is the most loving group of people who love each other. The bigger picture is we are each growing and learning. The bigger picture is I love doing this. The bigger picture is we have money in the bank that can carry us through this time we are in right now. Oh, yeah, the bigger picture is we are still in a global pandemic that isn't over yet, and lots of people are still afraid to be in groups of people, large groups of people, especially groups that they don't know. Oh, there's a bigger picture than focusing on the disappointment of one single aspect of something. Eric Butterworth said, "In the flow of life, there can be no hopeless situation, no incurable illness, no last straw." That's because we are each an out-picturing of the infinite potential of life. Our lives are the out-picturing of a creative intelligence that is infinite in its potentiality. We're not at the end. You're in a tunnel. And so the third thing is, in this being able to pull yourself out of disappointment, is to look at how grateful you are for whatever it is in that particular situation. not somewhere else in your life, but in that circumstance, in that relationship, in that situation. That student, I'm so grateful that I'm learning. For that spouse, I'm so grateful for our communication skills and our commitment to working it out. Here at Living Beyond Limits, I am so grateful for every single one of you. So grateful. I am so grateful that you love each other. I am so grateful for this philosophy and for my growth and your growth. And I'm so grateful that we are each focused on being a beneficial presence in this world, and that is important to us. Karen Armstrong said, when we focus on our gratitude, the tide of disappointment goes out and the tide of love comes rushing in. I'm going to say it again. When we focus on our gratitude, the tide of disappointment goes out and the tide of love rushes in. Every single one of those situations, oh yeah, when I focus how grateful I am for these things in the relationship, oh my God, my love comes forward. I feel how much I love that person. When you focus on your gratitude for something in that particular situation, it enables you to move back into love again. It raises our energy. It opens us to the creative force that is always flowing in our lives, that is always active in our lives, but that sometimes we block when we get stuck. And then the fourth and the last aspect, tool to use to get yourself unstuck from disappointment, is to have faith. Faith that good is working in your life. Faith that you can expect the best. Faith that life is always moving forward and never moving backwards. Ernest Holmes, the founder of this philosophy, said, "The creative law which you use is like a mirror. The thought you hold before it is like an image. The mirror reflects the image you hold before it. Hold there, then, the image of faith and expectancy with enthusiastic conviction and undying trust. The only thing you can that can hinder you is yourself. The only thing that can help you is yourself. Because it is you who reflects the image in the mirror." Ernest Holmes also said, "We should expect the best and so live that the best may become a part of our experience." And so sometimes, as you've noticed, expectations set us up for a fall. And so there's a difference between expectations and expectancy. Expectations say, I expect a certain thing in this material world to go a certain way, to turn out a certain way. There's your attachment. Expectancy says I'm living in the consciousness, in the energy, in the attitude of expecting good to happen. Expecting good to happen. And so my invitation to you this week is that when you are feeling stuck in disappointment, to realize, one, that your focus is myopic, that you are focusing on one single aspect of that particular thing. Two, to look at the bigger picture of what that situation is, what it contains, what it holds, what it's about, that relationship, that situation, whatever it is. To find what you're grateful for in that situation, and then to stay in your gratitude. And then to live with the expectancy of good. Having faith that things will work out, that things will work out for good. To have faith that good is working in your life right now and always. And so blessings to every single one of you on this path of discovery, of self-discovery, discovering who and what you are made of, in walking this path in partnership with the divine and giving way to that infinite potential within you. Blessings to each one of you. And so I invite you to join me in an affirmative prayer. And so right now, I just allow myself to bask in that truth, that the omnipresence of spirit is right here, that at every moment of my life, in everything I do, that spirit is right where I am, that it is surrounding me, it is enveloping me, it is going before me and making the way open and plain and smooth. It is buoying me and carrying me with all of its love and all of its intelligence, with all of its good. That good is the very nature of God, the nature of this infinite one, and that good is happening everywhere. And so today we just simply line up our thinking, we line up our minds and our hearts with that good, recognizing that as we do that, it flows into our lives, that possibilities flow into our thinking, that inspiration flows into our lives, that an opulence of all those things that we desire to have already fill our lives. And so today we turn our focus to the good, to the possibilities, to love, to the truth of our own wholeness and our own authentic power. And we live our lives from that perspective. And I know that right now there are blessings abundantly flowing into our lives, for we here today are open to receive. And so I speak this word also not just about us in this room, but I speak this word about every single politician, every single world leader, every single decision maker, recognizing that the fullness of spirit is right where they are also, and that that spirit right now is unfolding itself within them and through them as right decisions and right choices, inspired by unity and love and oneness and good, that they are being moved in the direction of creating a world that works for everyone. For that is the desire of spirit itself. And so that abundance of good is flowing through each and every single one of them right now. And I speak this word for every single person on this planet and about every person, that spirit is right where they are too, fulfilling the need before the words are even spoken. For God is infinite in its abundance of all good, and it is that good that is filling the lives of each person. Health and prosperity and peace and wisdom, love and joy. And spirit is having its way right now. And in that, I see the good. And so I release this prayer right now with a heart filled with gratitude for this truth. And so I release this prayer into the infinite law of the universe, knowing that it is unfolding itself as such right now, simply because we have said yes to that, and simply because it is the nature of the divine to do so. And so we rest in that, naming it all good. And I say, and so it is.
It's now time for our affirmation. If you would join me as we say this together. Today I lift myself from the mire of disappointment. I release my attachments and change them to preferences. I broaden my focus, find my gratitude, and live with faith
and an expectancy of good.
And so it is.
And so I just have a couple of invitations for you as a way to participate in this family. And one is that we, Yvonne McLaughlin, we are having a celebration of life for her. It is going to be held on March 12th at 1 o'clock at the Grand Hotel in Long Beach. There is a sign-up sheet in the back. The Grand in Long Beach, thank you. There's a sign-up sheet in the back. They would like RSVPs. They're going to be serving lunch so they know how much food to order. Hope you can be there. Just to follow us on Facebook and to share those talks as they get posted on Facebook and to check in on Meetup and tell us you're coming. Our Sunday talks are available on our website. They also get emailed out every Monday, and you can share them from there. If you'd like to get on our email list, Ray, will you raise your hand? If you'd like to get on our email list of the things that we're doing, give your email address to Ray. You can write it on that piece of paper there, and he will make sure that you get that so you know what we're up to. Last invitation. And so I invite you to repeat after me, good fills my life now.
Good fills my life now.
I step into it. I own it.
I own it.
I celebrate it.
I celebrate it.
And so it is.
And so it is.